This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. Another Inside Douglas County program today. Of course, a lot of what we've been doing in recent days has something to do with what everyone is talking about. That's the COVID-19 situation. State Senator Dallas Hurd back on with us today, and we're joined by John Myers, Corporate Environmental Health and Safety Director for Roseburg Forest Products. Gentlemen, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, Dallas, why don't you start us off, first of all, about sort of talking about the COVID-19 and the state response and where you see things headed, where you'd like to see them head.
Well, Kyle, as everybody listening knows, it's a continuance of development as new information comes in and as we just continue to learn about the situation. Obviously, it's caught everybody nationwide as well as worldwide kind of flat-footed. In the modern era, as we've discussed before in previous programs, it's just not something we're used to. It's not something we've experienced in the modern era. And so it's been a real difficult situation to kind of evolve with and adapt to. But as things have moved forward and as new information comes in, specifically from the infectious disease researchers and the physician community and whatnot, from myself, I'm looking desperately, as I think a lot of folks are, to figure out how do we get back to not normal life necessarily in the next few weeks, but we've got to at least start ramping back up to getting the economy going. It's not a greed thing. It's a reality thing. You know, gravity, as I would put it, is reality. It doesn't matter that it hurts people sometimes. It doesn't matter that gravity is an inconvenience sometimes. It is what it is, and you have to deal with it. Well, an economy is reality for us as far as protecting public health. It's like two oxen yoked together going down the road. You can't really have one without the other. You have to equally protect public health and economic health in order to have the other one. So I've talked with the governor previously Friday last week, as well as much of the Senate and some of the House members around my idea based off of some conversations I had with one of the physicians.
And let's see, I think we have just lost Dallas Hurd. Let's see, John, are you still there? All right, we're going to take an early break here and see if we can get them back on with us here on Inside Douglas County, 1237 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, well, technology is being taxed apparently today. We lost John Myers and State Senator Dallas Hurd. I think we've got Dallas Hurd back. Dallas, you there?
Yes, I am.
So let's resume what you were talking about as we try to work on the technical things behind the scenes. But talk about moving forward and trying to see some economic activity return in Oregon.
Yeah, so Kyle, what it really comes down to is we really need to get behind a volunteer effort as a community of citizens. I myself, like I said earlier, I'm not a big fan in a free society or any society for that matter of promoting the concept of these executive orders. I do understand that the executive branch definitely plays a role within our constitutional republic in some form or fashion of when we have these moments of emergency and great uncertainty. Sometimes you have to take some corrective actions to ensure that the whole bottom doesn't fall out in society. But there comes a point here where these one-size-fits-all executive orders, especially as it relates to our economic situation, just become a little too restrictive and just a little too simplistic, frankly. One-size-fits-all, as a physician I've been speaking to about this issue a lot, his comment was, one-size-fits-all normally fits no one. And we're starting to see a lot of that. I think these maps that have been laid out through the CDC on COVID-19 and its spread really give the wrong picture a lot of times of the spread of the situation. It's primarily been located in heavily densely populated cities like Portland, Los Angeles, New York City, especially places like that. And if you look at the CDC map, it just makes North America or Europe or Africa, for that matter, Asia especially, just makes the whole thing look red, meaning like everybody everywhere is evenly infected. And that's just not the case. Now, is this thing extremely serious? Is this extremely concerning? Absolutely. But we really have to start ramping this economy back up just because of the simple reality that our hospital systems, especially in rural communities across this country, are flat out going broke right now. They're laying off huge amounts of their labor force. Down in the Curry County Medical Network, which is the entire medical network for all the southern coast, was recently laid off many of their staff. That it equated to $1.2 million of monthly payroll that is no longer going out to those employees, that is no longer being invested in keeping that economy down there in Port Orford, Gold Beach, Brookings Harbor, Bannon, and so on and so forth. You got $1.2 million of medical personnel income that's no longer coming and no longer being infused in that economy. That's just one example. Up here, we've talked about it a couple different times. The Mercy Medical Network industry is losing on track right now of about $4.9 million a month. So even if people don't want to acknowledge that businesses outside of healthcare are not all that relevant to them, which is not reality, but that's some people's opinion that don't seem to understand the business situation, you have to at least admit that our hospital system's going broke and sending all of our staff home because of the rigidness of some of these executive orders here is a problem if your focus is keeping the health, the public health intact. So rolling out the economy and getting us ramped back up again here in the next several weeks, and it needs to be in the next several weeks, not just with healthcare, but with restaurants and all the different retail stores that have been shut down and whatnot. We have to figure out a way to collectively come together. It really doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, from folks that flat out don't think this virus is real, which I don't agree with, to folks on the other side that think it's the end of days, which I think that's an overreach as well, to everybody in the middle. We have to get around some form of an effort to get us back to work so we can protect our public health, so we can protect our healthcare system. And what I've come up with through a lot of different conversations with medical personnel that are doing a lot of research on this, I'm not going to name names today, but one of the people is on the is one of the members of the governor's medical panel task force that was announced last week. And the conversation was going towards, how is this thing spread? Is it spread through air? Is it spread through touching a contaminated surface that someone who has COVID has touched? And this medical professional, who have a lot of faith in his knowledge and wisdom, said that it almost exclusively spreads through, as I would call, spittle or aerosol, microscopic moisture that's polluted with COVID that comes out of your nose or your mouth. Furthermore, a minimum of 1 out of 3 to as many as 1 out of 2 people now, as the infectious disease research keeps coming in, suggests that, like I said, 1 out of 3 to up to 1 out of 2 of us that gets COVID-19 will literally show no symptoms. And so the way I'm looking at this now is, we all just need to assume we have COVID-19. Even if we don't, even if we show no signs, the research shows that there's a good chance you could have it. And we need to do our best to not share it and spread it with demographics that are over 70 years old, have underlying health conditions. We need to be really careful not to spread this around. One, because we love our brothers and sisters of the demographics that are the hard targets for this virus. Two, we want to start getting back to work so we can protect our economy for all the reasons we've talked about. And so when I heard that it almost exclusively passed through the mouth or the nose, I said, Doc, tell me this. If we all wore any form of a mask that we could get our hands on that did a very good job of covering the nose and the mouth, so that our spray from our bodies does not come from our mouth and get out into the air around us, and just everybody had some form of a, even if it was a crude device like an old t-shirt you used as a bandana, if you're practicing social distancing, cleanliness, disinfecting best practices, and had some form of a mask you could put on, and everybody was doing that, could we safely return to work? And he felt that yes, we could. That made a lot of logical sense, that would knock down the virus's ability to get out into the air and infect other people. Because I think we were really looking at this the wrong way when this first got rolled out. And that's nobody's fault. Again, like I said, when you're dealing with something that's brand new that nobody's had any experience with, it takes a little while to get adapted to what you're dealing with and how to fight it. Well, we were all focused nationwide and worldwide on having N95 masks that are of a medical grade filtration system so that we could protect ourselves from other people infecting us. But it actually shows now, from the research I've seen and the conversations I've had with actual medical professionals, we should have looked at it the reverse way. If you have a covering over your face, not to protect yourself, but to protect everyone else, and everyone adopts that strategy, you actually knock this virus down in its tracks right there. And it makes it much safer for us to go back to not life as usual necessarily right now, but at least get back to some place of normalcy so we can protect our economy.
And with the wearing of masks, and I've done several interviews in the last couple of weeks about that, it's been evolving because at the front end, there was some question about using it outside of medical situations. And then that began to shift. Then I think it was last Friday, the federal government started to call for that more. And you're seeing, as I have been out over the weekend, probably about 20-25% of people in the grocery store would have a mask on here in Douglas County just in recent days. And that is a big shift.
It is. And, you know, I just want to really put it out there for folks. Just please, if you're on the radio, folks listening right now, I really need to hear what I'm about to say. No matter where you're at politically on this, economically on this, what you think caused this virus, whether you think it's that bad or whether you think it's horrible, whatever, we really need to come together now as free American citizens, Oregonians, Douglas Countyans, and we need to really adopt this situation and start wearing the masks. The strategy, I should say. Every time I'm leaving my house now, it doesn't matter if it's for work, because I'm in an essential services industry, or if I'm going to the grocery store, or whatever reason I'm leaving my house, I'm going to be wearing a mask. If you're by yourself in your car, you don't need to wear it at that moment. But when you pull up to a drive-through window and you're talking to the person you're handing your card or cash off to buy some food or whatever, you need to wear that mask because you're protecting them. And the reverse is true. And if we can just all start doing that and really come together and put all of our frustrations and our fear aside and just really approach this from a teamwork aspect, we can really start turning the corner here. Because I'm not suggesting that we start going against any of the executive orders currently in place. I think we need to give the governor a couple more weeks, as painful as that is for some of us. I do think we need to give the governor a couple more weeks to see where she takes us on this. But at some point, like I told her on Friday night on the phone, I said, we have to get back to work. This just is not going to continue to keep working the way we're doing this. But at the same time, we have to hedge our bets against a second wave of COVID-19 spreading throughout our community. So, you know, in the world of strategic planning and whatnot, this, with the people I've been talking to, this is what made the most sense. We're not putting a pressure on the people call it PPEs. For the folks at home, that's personal protective equipment. We're not trying to put any pressure on the supply side of that to the medical professionals that desperately need to have a stockpile of this at our emergency rooms and whatnot. That's why I'm bringing up that the conversation around, you don't really have to have an N95 mask. When I hear from the medical professionals that I have, if everybody's wearing them, the standard of what kind of a mask you're wearing really drops quite a bit. You should try to find as good a mask as you can. But if everybody starts doing this, I think we'll see a significant turnaround. And I'd really like to, like the governor and I talked about, it'd be great to see Douglas County lead by example here. I want to shout out to Swanson Group, Umpqua Dairy, Roseburg Forest Products, especially. All those companies and several others have been so great to deal with over the course of the last several weeks. Roseburg Forest Products was one of the first companies, along with Swanson Group, that I called many weeks back when we were really concerned that the governor may be getting geared up to shut down major industry like our timber products and whatnot and other industries. And they helped with a letter drive campaign to just explain to the governor how critical it was for our rural economies to keep these kinds of industries going. Furthermore, you know, nobody's better than the private sector, at least in my opinion. Nobody's better than the free market and the private sector when it comes to adopting and evolving with different market changes and different scenarios that come across the table in this life. And Roseburg Forest Products, Swanson Group, those kind of people, they've been right at the forefront of implementing policies to not only protect their workforce, but to protect the communities they reside in. And I just can't say enough good things about how quick those guys and ladies have been at jumping on this situation to try to help us move Oregon back to work.
And, of course, as we look at this idea of wearing masks, it seems rather unusual for us, though Dr. Dannenhofer has told me, for instance, when he lived in Japan for a while, it is more common there. Some of that is ties to social norms in that society. In places like China, it's more common. There, it's because of an issue of air quality. But there are a number of locations around the globe where mask wearing has been common for many years.
Absolutely. You know, and to reiterate some stuff here with the folks listening, you know, for the folks on the side of the aisle that really resent these executive orders, and I'd be one of them, especially some of them have been a little bit over the top in my opinion, but you know, there's a lot of us in this community, in this region, that really, really value our freedom and liberty. I'd like to believe the overwhelming population really values their freedom and liberty. But at the end of the day, if we want to protect those freedoms and liberties, sometimes as free citizens, we have to do some things we don't like. And wearing a mask out of the house is not something that's glorious or fun to do, and it can be just downright inconvenient. But in my opinion, if we really want to own our freedom and liberty, we also have to show that we have the maturity and the wisdom to sometimes, under extraordinary circumstances, take corrective actions that are not common and not pleasant, like wearing a mask, staying 6 feet apart, not shaking hands, not hugging, doing things like that, and just normal social interaction, so that what? Not so we can please, you know, elected officials that we think are over the top. It's so we can protect our jobs. It's so we can protect our loved ones. When I came to this reality of what I felt like was medical-based logic on this whole mask-wearing situation, it gave me the confidence that I could go visit my 95-year-old grandmother. You know, so for anybody out there listening saying, oh, you know, he's just being cavalier and he's going to, you know, he's advocating for us to go back to usual and it's going to cause a second wave because there's nobody in his life that he's concerned about getting this thing and dying or having severe issues, you're wrong. My grandma is the angel of my life. I'm going to avoid crying on the radio here, but honestly, my grandma is everything to me, like everything to me. She's been there for me since day one, and she's the most wonderful human being next to my wife I've ever known. And so the thought of me getting her sick and her death being attributed to my interactions with her is a tough thing for me to face. And so I wore that mask because I know my grandma wants to see me and wants to still have that interaction. But it gave me confidence that I could actually go out and go back to at least interacting with some folks that I've kind of isolated myself from. So nobody loves freedom and liberty more than I do. And I feel like logically this is the only way forward for us to get back to work. And I think it's a good way to help us put some pressure on the governor to say, hey, Douglas County, Southwestern Oregon takes this seriously. We're wearing our masks. We're practicing social distancing. We are working together to get Oregonians back to work and to stay safe.
About 3 minutes left here. I wanted to ask about the small business situation with loan applications, things like that, that are going on right now.
Yeah, so the SBA loan stuff has been pretty painful for a lot of folks as we've been waiting for this mass entrance into the loan pool to get sorted out. So, I mean, you know, it's amazing. Folks really like to complain nowadays, and we all play a role in that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, folks, when you got literally millions of new applications in this real quick situation that's been put together, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be some bugs in the system. I'm happy to say that I did get an email today from my banker that their lending institution is seeing real progress in the last couple of days of getting those small business loans through the stimulus package pushed through. But for those of you who have still not applied for the payroll protection program grants or the emergency $10,000 loan program through the Small Business Association at the feds, you really need to get to your accountant, your banker, and you need to get plugged in, because I understand a lot of us are really opposed to federal debt. I am as much as anybody. But the fact of the matter is, this loan has been taken out in our names. We're all going to be responsible to pay for it in the end. And you might as well do what you can to get that money that represents your piece of the pie to keep yourself, your employees, and your families in this community upright financially. So I implore you to call your bankers, call your CPAs, get some good knowledge and information and go pursue these loans. Because even if the existing money runs out in the coming weeks, the president, as well as other members of Congress, have vowed that they will be putting in a phase two, $1.5 trillion of more money. And I think about $250 billion of that was going to be pushed towards small business. So that's remained to be seen as far as finalizing. But I have no doubt that if it's needed, they will put it through.
About a minute left as we talk about the mask situation, this other situation. Anything else you want to share with folks listening?
Well, you know, like last time we were on, I really encourage folks to go to places like the Wildlife Safari. You know, it's one of these gems we have in our community. They're kind of countless in our community, the gems we have around here. But Wildlife Safari is kind of set up perfect for this situation. You can maintain social distancing, stay in your car, have no contact with people, but be able to go see God's creation and look at all the beautiful animals and the scenery there at the safari. The safari has been generous enough to offer to people in the region a 20% discount on their annual pass if they want to invest in that. For seniors, it's $90 minus 20% if you type in Douglas. The code is Douglas to get 20% off. for families, non-seniors, it's $120 a year. So, I mean, you know, after like two trips through, you've spent more money than that pass cost. So I'd encourage you to get online and get over to the Wild Safari and get rid of some of that anxiety from being cooped up.
All right, State Senator Dallas Hurd, our apologies to John Myers with technical issues. We're going to get him back on another segment of one of our programs. Dallas, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, take care.
1259, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.